Oh, it's so awesome how God is concerned about every detail of our life. I'm just sharing this. This is a little personal thing here. When I share the word, I love it when the front rows are filled. And many times, for whatever the reason we do this, we leave the front row empty pretty much. Can usually count on Bob and Jeannie over here and Vicky, Barney, and Judy over here. But today, as I saw people come in, they just came to the front and filled. And I thought, God, what a blessing. You did that just for my heart because you know how much it blesses me. And you know, it's an amazing thing when we realize the depth. I mean, the real depth that God's love has in our lives. I mean, there's nothing we can do to separate ourselves from Him because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because he was an obedient son, wasn't he? And this is, you know, most of you in this room know this, and if you don't, it's very easy to check out. But he wasn't born in December. You know, I don't think we should change the holiday and all that stuff, but he was born September 11th. And as Jeffrey said this morning, I was going to mention this too, is I'll just reiterate, is that is exactly why the adversary did what he did on September 11th a few years ago, so that it could make a spiritual statement to those of us who know. But you know what? Jesus Christ shines brighter than that. And that's not to negate the people who lost their loved ones and who died, and we pray for those people and we will continue to. But Jesus Christ is bigger than that. Because those people are going to get up from the dead when he comes back. And they are going to reign on high for eternity. So today, as we look at this great man in God's word, I asked God, I said, okay, God, what do you want me to teach? He said, well, just teach about my son. Okay. God, he's mentioned in every book of the Bible. Where do I even start? You know, there is so much. Did you know that every book of the Bible, every book from Genesis to Revelation, he is mentioned in? There's a teaching out there called The Red Thread. It's an awesome teaching. You should hear it sometime because it is an amazing awareness of, for me, of God's plan from the time Adam and Eve fell to when the Lord comes back and when he deals with Satan face to face, and then he then again establishes the kingdom back to God. I mean, that whole thing is in there. We're not going to go through all that today. You're probably glad. I wouldn't even know how to begin. But I do want to say, when we have birthdays, what do?
Celebrate.
We celebrate that day, right? We party. Some party a little too hard. Some people get lots of presents. You know, some people get a few presents. I mean, but the day is a special day for us, right? And for those that love us, you know. And today is the birthday of Jesus Christ. But, you know, today what I want to do is to celebrate his life. I don't want to just celebrate today his life. I want to celebrate his life every day. So I thought it would be really cool if we could just get a greater appreciation by just looking at the scriptures. Where do we get to know Christ? We got to start here. I mean, without Romans 10, 9, and 10, can you get born again?
No.
Nope. Now, I know there's people in the world that don't have Bibles, that don't know how to read, but God covers them somehow. That's his business. But for us in this room, we have the awesome privilege of understanding and knowing scriptures that substantiate God's love for us and the importance of Jesus Christ being our Lord and what that really means to our life. And so today, you know, what I want to do is when we leave, I want us to have a greater appreciation of him. And that word appreciation, I looked that up in a biblical term. And pretty much across the board, it means a recognition and enjoyment of someone special or something special. Not just a recognition of Jesus Christ, but an enjoyment of living with him inside of us. Now that is something to celebrate every single day. And see, that's a really cool thing. I can't celebrate my birthday every day. You know why?
I don't want to.
Because there's only one me. Right? There's only one day. There's only one me. But Christ, every human being that's born again of God's Spirit has Christ in him. So every day can be Christ's birthday for you because it's your day with Christ every day. So that's why I wanted to celebrate his life and really, you know, have a greater appreciation. And the only place I know to do that is from the Word. So trust me, there are tons more than what I picked out here, but I believe these are things that we can share with each other today and be able to enjoy together as God describes his Son, Jesus Christ, and the wonderful things he did for us. You know, the Spirit of God and Christ in us is such a great gift, but the only way God could give it to us was because his Son was obedient. And you know what? He was obedient according to God's will, not his own. A lot of times I find myself in my life, you know, if things don't go the way I want them, I'm not always so willing to change my mind. Now, I'm better over, or should be, after this long in the Word, but I don't always. I don't always line myself up with God the moment I realize I'm not lined up with God. Now, maybe you guys do, and hallelujah. Hang out with me more. She can rub off on me. But you know what? Jesus Christ always did the Father's will, even unto dying on the cross. Remember, we're not going to read it, but I'm just going to remind you. Remember in the garden? Father, if there's any other way. Did he not ask God that? Yeah. And God knew what he was going to go through. God, it was God's plan. And again he asked. And again he asked. And then God showed him something miraculous. And you know what? He then said, not my will, but your will be done. And because he made that decision to do what God Almighty asked him to do. And I tell you, God's asked me to do quite a few things in my life, but nothing even close to what that took. But he did it. And because of that, we can have that Christ within us. And God can communicate with us through his Word and through his Spirit. What a great Savior. What a great brother in Christ. What an awesome God we have. So let's go to Romans. Maybe a little bit. Just look at some things that his life did for our lives. So let's start in Romans chapter 5. And as we read these, you're going to see more and more it had absolutely nothing to do with how nice I am. And you guys all know how nice I am. And God knows how nice I am. It had nothing to do with how nice I am. For when we were still, did I say verse 6? Okay, verse 6. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the perfect people. No, he died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, we were what?
Sinners.
Seriously? We were sinners? Yes, we were. But Christ died for us. Christ died for me before I was even a twinkle in my dad's eye. Or any of you are a twinkle in your parents' eyes either. I mean, he died over 2,000 years ago for you and 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 me. For anyone that God calls and believes and confesses Romans 10, 9, and 10, God had his Son, the only perfect man to walk the face of the earth, die on the cross for our sins. What? I have a son. I tell you, I love people, but I just, the thought of me giving him up for somebody else who is like a jerk, like I was, you know, dead in trespasses and sin. I mean, dead's dead in trespasses. You're dead. You know, it's not a good state. But what did Christ do? He died for us. Much more than having now been justified. Oh, wow. He didn't just die. He justified us. Justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Wow. Now, what does that mean? It means there's a time coming when Christ is going to call the church home. And when that happens, and we meet him in the air, then guess what's going to happen down here? Wrath. When the light's gone, the darkness is going to power. We don't have to be here during that time. Why? Because we were good enough? No, because Christ did it. Because Jesus Christ said, okay, I'm going with the plan, God. Man, what a Savior. For when we were enemies, we were enemies when we were enemies. I just hardly can believe that. We were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we shall also rejoice in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have the reconciliation. Okay, we're justified. We are saved. We are not going to have to be part of the wrath. This is just parts of what Christ has done. I can't even do it justice. I can't. But you know what the greatest thing it did? It reconciled us back to God. We were enemies with God. Okay, I'll just think for a minute. I know it's hard. But there's got to be some point in your life before you got born again, I'm sure, where you had an enemy. You had somebody you didn't like too well. They bugged you through school. They were mean to you. You would not consider them your friend, right? You were an enemy with God. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were worth nothing. Then Christ. And you know what Christ did? He reconciled us back to the Creator of the universe, people. God, our Heavenly Father, our Abba. Think about this. The Creator of the universe. Jesus Christ died on that cross and God raised him from the dead so that we can be reconciled back to that Creator, back to that love, back to where God sees us and has always seen us in spite of the sin in the garden. He could have just started over, you know? He's God! He could have, okay, these two did not know. Okay, you guys, zip, you're gone. All right, we'll start over here again. I'll create another man. That's not what he did he? No. Because his love was so great, even this disobedience of Adam and Eve could not destroy his love. And Jesus Christ reconciled us back to that God. He's no longer separate from us. It's not like the Old Testament where they had the Spirit on them. Before Christ, he was able to put spirit on people and communicate with God's, with his people, Israel. He chose them. And get them out of trouble when they were what? Obedient. You look at the Old Testament, whenever they disobeyed God, guess what happened? Their lives were a wreck. The moment they turned back, well, after they did some, you know, penances and God made them, you know, sacrificed, no. The moment they turned their hearts back to God, what did God do? He worked right there. He delivered them instantly. I mean, read the accounts. It's an amazing walk that he's had with human race since he created us. And Jesus Christ reconciled us back to God. Back to God, the Creator. I mean, you know, I've had issues with people where we didn't agree eye to eye, maybe we didn't talk to each other, and then something happened and one of us or both of us went, this is stupid, you know, that's my brother, that's my sister in Christ, you know, and we reconcile. Have you ever had that happen to you? Isn't that the sweetest thing to have happen? I mean, don't you, once it's happened, isn't your heart so full of joy? Well, every day we take breath, we can have that memory of how Jesus Christ reconciled us back to God. I can tell you the very day in my life where I really understood this. I'd already been reconciled back, but I didn't understand it. I went to church for years, a little kid in school and kindergarten, but it wasn't until I was 28 years old that I really started to understand the truth of God's Word. The truth of God's Word. Wow. And to realize what God did through His Son Christ and what Christ willingly did, it just is overwhelming in my heart. Look at verse 12. Did I say 12? I did say 12. Oh, here I go. I can't find it. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law was sin in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. We are justified before God, just as if we never sinned. Not because of my goodness or greatness. Not even because I'm a nice person. Or even if I was a bad person. If Jesus Christ was Lord in my life at one time, and I walk away from it, for the rest of my life, I am still justified in God's sight. I am still His kid. And He is waiting for people who do that to just turn their face back to Him. And you know who He will see? He will see the image of His Son, Christ, in your face. Because that's how He sees us. He sees us like He sees Jesus Christ, because it is Christ in us. These are the things that Jesus Christ's life accomplished for us. Look over in chapter 6. Look at verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His what?
Resurrection.
Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with. The body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. Does death have dominion over us?
Nope.
I mean, think of these deep. Do you know how many people are so afraid of dying because they don't know what happens afterwards? And we're free from that. We don't have to fear that. We know what God says, that because of Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear that. Death has no dominion over us because we have eternal life through our Lord. It's a promise of God. You know, the guy created everything? Yeah, that guy. Death no longer has dominion over Him or us. He lives, and he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. See, it wasn't my words, it's his. But alive to God in who?
Christ.
He reconciled us. He made us righteous. He justified us. And he has made us alive unto God for eternity. This is our Lord. This is our Savior. This is who we get to imitate, to act like, to live like. You know, I used to have this thing in my heart. I said, okay, now Vic, when people see you, I want you to see them like Christ sees them. That used to be this thing that I would every day endeavor to. And then I realized as I grew in my relationship with God, God put something else on my heart. And what he put on my heart was, Vicki, every time you see someone, I want you to see them through the eyes of Christ. And every time they look at you, I want them to see the eyes of Christ. See, it's not just about how I can walk with God. It's how Christ has enabled me to walk with God. And when I come in front of people, I want them to see that Christ in me. You know? And I don't mean in a religious sense. I mean in love. I mean in joy. I mean in peace. And I mean in concern and in care. You know? He is in us. Everything that God gave him, he has given to us. Man, what a life to celebrate. You know, every day I can wake up and know that it is Christ in me. You know? And then, you know, some of us have had kids that we've brought up in the Word, and we've taught them who they are in Christ. You know, and just like every parent, I think, our kids always... We always think, well, did I do that? Well, I can't believe he said that. But, you know, as my son grew up and other people would come to me that he'd go spend time with, he'd go, man, your son is so cool. You know, he sat down and talked to me for hours. And I'm like, Josh? Seriously? Because how's your day, Josh? Good. What'd you do today? Well, stuff. So, you know what? The seeds that were planted in our children from what we have learned from the Scriptures, it grows just like it grew in us. And we have to remember that. You know, we have to remember that walking with Christ in us and manifesting that Christ in us is something that we grow into. I'm still growing into it. I don't know about you guys, but I don't have this down. I've mastered this. But man, it is so huge. But guess what? We get to enjoy it. We get to live it. And we have a God that we are connected to that teaches us his wisdom and understanding on how to do this. You know what I'm saying? All of this Jesus Christ accomplished. I just get so blessed looking at this stuff. Look at Ephesians. See a little bit more here. I love the book of Ephesians. I don't know about you guys, but wow. You know, when I took a foundational class years ago on the Bible, it was really cool. You know, the first three or four sessions, I like, yeah, I knew that. Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, I knew that. Because I'd gone to church and studied with different people. And then that class, he did four crucified. And I went, what? Now, why is that important? Because God had it recorded in his Word. That's why it's important to know and to understand. Never heard of that one. Never heard it was Christ in me. One body, didn't even know what the one body was. But you guess what? I had a heart for God, and he knew that. So he just directed me as the way I would allow him to. And then he got me to a point where I was in that class. And as his Word began to be unfolded before me, my life changed. I know a lot of people are like Bob talked about, there's a lot of people out there that are down and out. There's a lot of people that are confused. There are a lot of people that are on drugs or alcohol is a problem, or they're workaholics or whatever. I was just kind of a normal person. But man, did I need Jesus Christ. Because there was a part of me, like in each one of you, who wants to help people. And that is the only way that we can truly help another individual, is introduce them to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to the God that He reconnects us to. I mean, you know, what do we have to do in our life that's any more important than that? And whoever God puts in front of you, that's who He puts in front of you. Let Christ shine. I mean, He's in there. Sorry. Okay, blessed be the God. Verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Have you ever meditated on that verse? Have you ever just... I did this the other day. Sat down, read the verse, and I went... Every spiritual blessing. Okay, every spiritual blessing. I was like, every spiritual blessing. I sat there and just thought about it for over an hour and knew I hadn't even... There was just the tip of the iceberg. Every spiritual blessing, people, is ours. If we don't receive them, it's because we're not holding the hand out. Because He's already said it's ours. Every spiritual blessing and heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I tell you, man, there's some days I don't feel holy at all. But it doesn't matter how I feel. What matters is God says that He, God, chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Oh my gosh, it is God's good pleasure to make me holy and beloved and blameless before Him? I mean, oh my gosh, we are so rich. We are so rich. And it is just the tip of the iceberg that God has recorded here. You know, He couldn't record everything Jesus Christ did. He says that. But the things He recorded, oh my gosh, is there anything too hard for God? No. And His Spirit in Christ in us, is there anything too hard for us? No. And you guys, this isn't like a magic wand and everything in our life goes straight because God is a part of our life and we're aware of this. We have an enemy. But He's not bigger than our Savior. He's mean, He's ugly, and He's very crafty. But He is not bigger than our Savior. He is not more powerful. He is not wiser. The only reason I get tricked sometimes is because of my stupid brain. Because I think I can figure it out. Instead of, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. It is written. It is written. Nope, it is written. Nope, it is written. Isn't that what our Savior did when He was tempted in the wilderness? Every answer, it is written. Man, what a Savior. Well, oh, man, just so thankful for His life. We're before God, holy and without blame. Man, having predestinated us, we are His beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Redemption, do you know what that means? We've been bought back. Nothing can change that. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. God's grace. Oh my gosh, there's another teaching. God's grace. Or maybe 1,600 teachings about God's grace. You know, one time I went to fellowship. Now, okay. I was young in the Word. And I'd been going for maybe 8 or 9 months, so I was pretty young in the Word. So I'm not that stupid anymore. But you know what? I went to this teaching, and it was another teaching on believing. Everybody seemed to be teaching on believing. Well, I was so immature and young in the Word, all I thought of was, oh, God, another teaching about believing. Okay, here we go. And believe God. You know what? God puts us in situations to hear what we need to hear.
That's right.
And if I'd been wise in my mind, I wouldn't have said, oh, another teaching on believing. I would have been, oh, wow, another teaching on how to believe God. Yeah! You know, another teaching on love, another teaching on giving. You guys, I'm telling you now, I can't be the only person that's in this room that's ever thought like this. I know I'm not. Please tell me I'm not. But you know what? It is every teaching that we have the privilege to hear from God's Word that is an expression of the integrity and the love that God has for us is worth receiving in our hearts, worth meditating upon. I don't care how many times you hear it. I mean, because God works with each one of us as an individual. And whatever message we get, guess what happens? It's specifically for what I need, for what you need. Same teaching. But God working in each individual as an individual. God working with that Christ in you to teach you specifically what you need to hear. What a Savior. What a God. How thankful we can be. And that's why I think His life is to be celebrated every day, not just on September 11th. September 11th is a great time. We can, I don't know what kind of, I'm sure Al's got great refreshments back there, and we can, you know, break bread and just talk about Jesus Christ and how much we love Him and what He's done for us. And that's awesome. But it's every day. It's every day that He lives within us. It's every day that God wants Him to be manifested to this world. You know? And sometimes it's a touch. You don't even have to say His name. You just touch with His love. You just reach out and touch someone with His love. That ever happened to you? Happened to me. He walked by and touched me. And I had walking pneumonia. It was years ago. And this man of God walked by and touched me and said, how are you doing, sweetheart? And kept walking. And I felt the healing in my body. And I went, whoa. Coughing stopped. Fever left. It was over. Just a touch of the love of God, of the Christ in you into another individual's heart. Oh, gosh, I wish I could make it sound huge. It's so huge. It's so huge. Okay, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 1. See a couple more things, and we'll close it out and go back there and have some great refreshments and talk about whatever you want to talk about. Colossians 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father. That is God Almighty we're talking about here. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him, Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself, to God, by Christ, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Okay, ever been unpeaceful? Don't have to be. Christ gave us peace in every circumstance and every situation. And a lot of times, you know what? We get into situations where we're not peaceful. We got to stop that. We got to stop the emotion, because this isn't about how we feel. We got to stop the emotion, and we got to lock in with God, and we got to claim the peace. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to feel God's peace. You know, we get manipulated through our emotions a lot, because our emotions don't always line up with God's Word. So then we miss out on the promise or the deliverance for a period of time. Because God always gets us there. He never gives up on us. But man, I've learned to save myself so much pain and so much frustration. When I start feeling unpeaceful, I go get quiet somewhere, and I begin to pray. And sometimes it takes me a while, and sometimes I have to pour my heart out, and sometimes I even complain to God. Do you guys complain to God? It's okay. He loves us anyway, you know? But sometimes that's what it takes for me, and God's like, okay, give it to me. Come on, I can handle it, Vicky. Let it rip. He's just like, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, so I can do this for you. That's who Christ reconciled us back to, our God. Oh, I love it. I do. I just love it. He reconciled us. And you who were alienated and enemies, verse 21, in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, here we go again, holy and blameless and above reproach. We're above reproach. You know what that means? When you start getting a thought of condemning yourself, I didn't do it right. I don't read the word enough. I should have gone to fellowship instead of watch the football game today. After that. Started feeling guilty about it. Guess what? Jesus Christ covered that too. We don't have to put ourselves through that. What you do is just turn it around. Okay, God, I'm without reproach, so long. Maybe I should have gone to fellowship. No, it was okay if you watched the game. It's not a sin. I mean, some things that we think are so horrible, God's like, oh, for Pete's sake, get over yourself. Get back in alignment with Christ in me. You're fine. You're fine. Keep moving. Keep moving. I don't know, man. Maybe none of you guys go through that, but this girl does at times. Look at chapter 3. These are the things that Jesus Christ did for us and that God did for us, and wow. Okay, let's start in verse 12. There's so much, but we'll go to verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God. And who is he talking to?
Us.
Us. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. How many times have I just read that those words? And I'm telling you, they're in there a lot more than what I'm showing you today. Holy, golly, beloved. Okay, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. You put it on. I put it on. You know what that means? We live it. We live it. Live tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone hath a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Does that sound like a request, or does that sound like a commandment? That sounds like a commandment. It sure does. As Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, the meekness, the humility, the long-suffering, the bearing one another, forgiving one another. This is all in our wheelhouse, you guys. You know why? Because he's in us. And that makes it totally available for us to do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body. One body. I don't think denomination is in here. One body. One body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. Teaching and what? Oh, that sounds like such a harsh word, doesn't it? That's not. It just means reminding each other of God's love, of Christ's presence, of our ability, of the things God has told us we are and called us to be. Wow. I have the hardest time being what God's called me to be when I'm crooked with God myself. It's harder. But when I'm like this with the Father, this man, this is fun, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, this is really fun to sit down and have a conversation about God and His Word, to go to the Word together and learn something, to pray for one another, to hear each other's victories. Man, that's a party. That's celebration. That's a celebration of life, of His life, of our life, being able to be a part of all this. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, whoa, that kind of covers it. Whatever you do in word or deeds, that means actions, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wow. Wowza, wowza. Is this a great Savior we have? Is this, I mean, oh my gosh, He's our Lord. And I ask myself every day, okay, Vicki, today He's going to be the Lord of your life even greater today than He was yesterday. Because you are going to look at Him even more today than you did yesterday. It's hard to imitate something that you know very little about, isn't it? But man, when you look into the life of Jesus Christ and you see what He has done for you as an individual and for us collectively as a body, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I don't know about you, but I'm a people person. Can you guys tell? I love to be around people. I like to play games. I mean, I am. I'm just a person that likes to be with people. You know? I could not imagine being called to be this prophet on a mountain somewhere high. If God just called us all to be prophets somewhere, or, you know, this is an individual walk, it has nothing to do with anybody else. No, wrong. That's not what He did, though, huh? He called us this miraculous body of Christ. Individuals, different and unique, and yet spiritually on the same playing field as Jesus Christ. That's why the adversary has no right to our lives. He has no right to our peace because of this man's life, because of this man, Christ. Whoa, oh man, that's exciting to me. Okay, 1 John, we're going to close in 1 John. You know, our relationship with Jesus Christ is so deep spiritually. And sometimes I used to think, you know, I just don't know if I know Jesus well enough. Like, now I look back at that time in my life and I go, well, you didn't know Him that well because you weren't really reading about Him that much. You weren't really looking at His life. You weren't really taking on seriously the invitation to live Christ-like, which has always been available. And once God kind of showed me, hey, get your head in my word about my Son. You're going to understand your relationship with Him greater. And you know what? I'm still doing that today. And that was probably 6 years ago where that came to a big thing in my mind. You know? He's right here. And to understand how to get Him out here even greater than you know today, keep going right here. Keep listening with that Spirit of God within you. God will show us how to magnify Christ to this world greater than we ever could have come up with. But you got to do the work mentally. Not works, just the work. Get your head into the Word. Open up your heart with great humility so God can teach you. I'm telling you, there is so much here. We have just, oh my gosh. I can't wait till the getting together. Scott can, I don't know how he's going to do it, but I tell you, he's going to show us so much. We're all just going to like, I don't know if we'll be on our knees or, what was that song? Yeah, would you just sing more? Yeah. I just know I'm excited about it already. 1 John chapter 4. Let's go to verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this love is not the love of this world. We're not talking about an emotional feeling or a reaction. We're talking about the unconditional love of God. Under any circumstance or situation, we dig deep in our hearts, and that's what we manifest towards God's people. Without the Spirit of God within us, we could not do this. So the world doesn't understand this kind of love, but we do. We understand it. 1 John 4:7. Man, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. I asked myself one day when I read that, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And I asked myself, Vicki, do people in this world see Him living in you? Because that's part of the love that God expects us to manifest, is the love of Christ to this world. Wow. I thought that was pretty cool, man, for Him to give us such a great privilege and to trust us with the ability to do that. Can you just see it? Oh, God. And it's like, God, me, really? Okay. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, that just means payment, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Look in verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. As He is. Warren, you want to come on up? So are we in this world. Those aren't just words. Those aren't just words. Oh, that's nice. No. No. We want to be Christ-like to everyone we walk in front of. And, you know, none of us are perfect, and we all know that, but Jesus Christ was, and He lives in me. And every day, my goal is to be more Christ-like than I was the day before. And when I fail, I get up and I try again. And God's right there to direct my path. So that's what I encourage you to do. And I encourage you to really think about all that you are in Christ. Every little detail that He has made you to be, because you are His masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. Greater than anything else He ever created, each one of us. He gave His Son, who willingly gave His life. Man, that's the team we're on. That's the family. I mean, you football players, you want to get on a team? That's the team to be on. You cannot lose a game. There will be no losses in your game bit, okay? Because that is just the most powerful thing that crosses this universe, is God and the power of His Son working within us. So, would you say?